sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
I am your king now!
I didn't have to be born and raised on the continent. I know where I'm from. It's engraved in my consciousness. We one folk, many tribes, many sons and daughters. Before the white man's artificial borders, we was warrior kings, victorious dynasties. I had to open my eyes to see the historians lie to me. I don't know what my tribe was. They stole my culture. But I know I'm still standing on ancestors' shoulders. Yo, I could have been Xhosa, Yoruba, Kikuyu. So I just claim them all from Ashanti to Zulu. That's beautiful. That's badass. Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzard, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the web, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Before I start the show, I want to remind you, returning listeners, that this podcast is still protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu's up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on, February 22nd, 2023 at 7:55 p.m. Midweek episode, so it's a Wednesday and all that good stuff. And last but not least, this episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. That's what's up. All right, okay. Today's episode, I forgot to put an intro in my rundown sheet, and I forgot to put the timer. Hold on a second. Let me just try to get myself a little organized. All right, I am ruled by the clock. Okay, so today's episode, what's on the agenda? So, news and random thoughts and personal thoughts, deeper thoughts. You know what news and random thoughts is? It's more like me attempting to be like every other podcast, every other black podcast. I talk about shit you should know about, share some thoughts. Try to sound clever and shit like that. And personal thoughts is the real me. It's really what I'm about. It's really, I don't know. It's like when I'm at a party. No, I'm at the barbershop. I can participate in most of the conversation. Sometimes about sports. So that's what news and random thoughts are. Personal thoughts is really the part of me I want to get into deeper conversation. I want to know, you scared of spiders too? You know, what do you think the future's going to look like? And things like that. It's still being hashed out. But this is me trying to explain why there's two acts to this podcast. Before I continue, I want to let y'all know that I am fasting for the next 12 hours. Why? Because I am suffering for your sins. That's right. I'm choosing to fast for the next 12 hours because you can't stop touching yourself. No, I'm kidding. No, really funny is I'm getting some blood work done tomorrow morning, and these motherfuckers got me fasting for 12 hours. Now, technically, I started at 7:30, and the shop opens up at 7. Let's see how it happens, man. I went in this morning. Just a little quick rant. Get this quick rant before I get on with the show. I went in this morning, and I'm just getting out of bed. It's a struggle to get out of bed. But I got into automatic autopilot. So when I get out of bed, first thing I do is I take some meds and my meds, multivitamins and shit like that. And this morning, you know, my brain is half asleep. The other half is like, why the fuck are you up cursing me? Anyways, and then so I'm on autopilot and then I'm like, I take my multivitamins, boop, plunk them in. And I'm like, oh, shit, I'm fasting. Funny story. So I get to the lineup and I'm like, I wonder if this got to be a problem. Should I say something? You know what I do? I Google it. And according to Google, or the result that I got is taking multivitamins is not a problem because there's no calorie in there. It shouldn't affect things. But because I'm B-Black, you know, insecure, you know, I don't trust what I read. I don't trust my ability to read. I show up to the counter. And when the lady says, have you fasted? Fuck. I swear, it felt like she was asking, and I was crossing, you know, when you're crossing the border, and they're like, do you have anything to declare? And, you know, I really don't want to get deported. I'm fucking freaking the fuck out. So I'm like, no, I swear. I just got a Kia Coke up my ass. You know, and I'm like, you know, I'm running to reveal. It just shut up. I'm like, hey, is multivitamins an issue? I just took two multivitamins, even though I, and funny thing is she didn't know. So she went to go ask a nurse, and the nurse, I don't know what the nurse told her, but she came back with blah, 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 blah. You know, you should come back tomorrow. Now, I could have said, hey, I Googled it, and according to Google, I'm okay. What I should have said is nothing. I should have just gone through, and worst case scenario, my doctor said, holy shit, you got a shitload of vitamin in your blood. I don't know what she would have said, but I'm just like, you know, it's because I want them to have accurate results. That's really what it's all about. I just really don't want to fuck up. The whole point is, had I not said anything, shoulda, woulda, coulda. Had I not said any fucking thing, I wouldn't need to be fasting right now. So I lied to you by saying the reason I'm fasting is because it's for some noble reason, for some higher power. I'm like Christ on a cross right now, fasting for the next 12 hours. Now, for those of you saying 12 hours, that's nothing, but you forget. I'm first world. I'm living in the first world. 12 hours. That's famine by my standards. Holy shit! I'm suffering here. Where the fuck are my thoughts and prayers? All right. Okay. All right. Okay. That's it. That's really where I'm going. If I sound grumpy, it's because I haven't eaten in 10 minutes. hold on a second. Funny story. I'm adjusting my chair. All right, let's go. Let's start with the show here. Okay, what y'all came here for? News and random thoughts. Let's do this. Ooh, I forgot to mention that. You know, fuck that. You're starting the timer. I forgot to mention that I'm a little excited. Y'all, you guys can't tell the difference, but I bought this cable off Amazon. So for those of you who don't know, I'm using this like... Bluetooth device, Bluetooth receiver, to transmit the output of my computer into my soundboard. Now the output of my, you know, this is some really nerdy shit, but you know, if you're into that nerd shit, you know, you're about to like probably get a boner off this shit. If not, then fuck it. Remember, this is my safe space. Anyway, so a Bluetooth device, and it's got a stereo output. Now, what's the stereo output? The signal is a stereo signal, and I had to Google it. I might put it in the show notes. But I learned the difference between a stereo signal and a stereo component. Stereo sound. Yeah, stereo sound and stereo component. So stereo signal means there's two signals, one for the left ear and the other one for the right ear. Is that accurate? Just know there's two signals coming out of that motherfucking device. So when I go into my board, I was only able to get the either left or the right signals. So this device, this little white cable, Y cable, I'm acting like, you know, I just discovered the wheel, but it's nothing really fancy. But this little Y cable's got my output of my computer, of my Bluetooth device, which is transmitting my computer sound, into my soundboard. So for you, you won't notice a fucking difference, but the sound should be a... For me, it's the satisfaction of transmitting a better quality of sound. That's really what it is. A quality of sound that you won't notice. So when I play shit like this...
We are at war!
Oh my God. Oh my God. Sounds beautiful, man. Sounds beautiful. Anyways, okay, look. It's just little minor improvements on my part, and I'm just happy for it. All right, okay. Rundown sheet, B. 2 minutes of... Fuck, if I show it, sorry, the chauffage, the heater is on. Okay. All right. Okay, let me go and say... Okay, let's go. First item. All right, so I'm watching Jack Ryan, third season of Jack Ryan, with homeboy from... I don't know if you're familiar with Jack Ryan, but the dude from The Office is in there. And I don't know, I can't explain why I like that show. I just do. Tom Clancy, I think, is the creator of the this whole... storyline, but whatever, just me trying to sound educated anyway. But the whole storyline is like some American CIA, and I guess he's trying to stop a terror plot from Russia. Basically, you know, I don't know if I'm exaggerating by saying the Russians are the bad guys, or well, not all of Russia, but you know, they have like it's like fucking a new version of the Cold War. Nah, it's not even more deeper than that. It's basically, yo, United States fucking trying to stop Russia or some Russians from fucking with it. And Jack Ryan is there to save the day. Everything like that. Yeah. I'm going to confess something on the podcast just right now. I think I got a little male crush on this guy, man. I you know, and it's weird to say this. This is me trying to be honest with you, keep it real with you. It's like, I ain't trying to bang this dude. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying... When I watch this show, I'm like, yeah, motherfucking Jack Ryan gonna fuck you. I don't know. It's like I'm a stan. It's like I'm a, I don't know, man. It's like, Rod would call him a possible white man. But it's just like, you know, he's nerdy and he's also, he could kick your ass. I cannot explain. I'm fascinated by this character. And I'm just like, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Jack Ryan's gonna fuck my girl. Yeah, you know what I mean? I'll be okay with it. That's the extent of my male crush. If I say I have a male crush, I'm like, yeah, if my girlfriend were to come up to me and say, I cheated on you, I'm like, what? This relationship is ours with Jack Ryan. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, all right. Y'all take any pictures? Oh, my God, holy shit. The whole point is not that the fact that I'm watching Jack Ryan. What I'm wondering is, I wonder if Russia has a Jack Ryan equivalent. Where they're the good guys and the United States are the bad guy, and by association, I guess Canada would also be part of the bad guys too. But yeah, I don't know what that story is. I mean, I wish I spoke. Was it Russian? Yeah, I wish I spoke Russian. And if they have that show, I would love to see a show where Americans are painted as the bad guy. Now, granted, you know, I'm very familiar with Black history, so yeah, the United States plays a, and I'm Haitian. All right, my parents are Haitian, and so I'm very familiar with the United States being the bad guys. But what I'm not familiar is watching a TV show not about slavery. And they're the villains, you know. I wonder if they have that over. I'm sure they do, but I'm like, is it translated in English or in language that? Look, being I was born in Canada, lived in, you know, my entire life here. I spent my entire life being with the propaganda, with brainwashed of, you know, American superiority, American like. Omnipotence, like we're the good guys, like the Rocky movies, the Rambo movies, holy shit, Sylvester Stallone, the you know, I grew up in the 80s, man, and that's all we got is that fucking propaganda. It got to the point where us kids, Canadian kids, wish we were Americans. They had us, guy, man. Yeah, but that was before, you know, we understood what, you know, taxes meant and healthcare. And basically, I had to grow up to understand that, oh, shit, I got some bomb ass. But not to say, look, I'm not trying to compete both countries against the world. I'm just saying I was on America's dick. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's because of the programming. And so I'm not used to having, anyways, I'm not used, yeah. Is there a Russian Jack Ryan? That's really what the point of this segment is. All right, moving on. The Last of Us, The Last of Us, are you guys watching that on HBO? I'm not going to spoil it, but all I will say is, holy shit, it is a fucking amazing show. Two things. One is I did start playing the video game, but my anxiety, I got anxiety issues that I won't go into. It's kind of embarrassing to talk about, but, you know, I already started. But it's enough for me to not be able to play the game, be able to enjoy the game. Like, it's one of those games that I'd rather watch someone else play because I suck at PS4 games. It's like, shit, I was great at Nintendo games. You know, there was like a joystick and two buttons. Fucking PlayStation's got like joysticks. It's just a lot of fucking, but my brain, I don't have the brain capacity to be like right finger, the X button is to shoot, A button, or, you know, I can't even remember the buttons. Anyways, there's a lot going on. And I want to blame my age, but there's people older than me who are like mastering that shit. Maybe I just need practice, right? But watching the HBO TV series, it's making me want to play the game more often. Like, there's like a purpose to this shit, and it's, but that's not where I'm not trying to sell you on the game, but I didn't realize that it had such an awesome storyline. Here's the funny part. People kept telling me it had an awesome, like, everything I kept reading kept saying it had an awesome storyline, but I was just too focused on the fact that on how much I suck at playing PS4 game and started to think about how I'm getting old and I'm getting closer to death. My youth is gone. Ah, fuck. What have you done with your life? You know what I mean? Like, so many shit goes on, and then, you know, the anxiety. You know what I mean? It's like, it was just difficult to enjoy the game. But the TV show, oh, wow. And you know what? You know, if you're going out there about to make a TV show, the key to success, in my opinion, for a great TV show is make sure some of my favorite podcasters are doing a recap of it. If it's not my favorite podcasters, sorry about that. Sorry, I just got a multipass 11.1 bug fix release. Okay, thank you. I don't even know why I installed you in the first place. Yeah, sorry, I forgot that all the computer. I guess I could shut that shit down, but I, you know, I got 10 minutes left so in this segment, so we'll do that later. I'm going to forget, but whatever. All right, so, yeah, Last of Us, man. Great TV show. Oh, yeah, I guess I want to send a shout-out to Brickmaster Podcast. They do a review of it, and it just, hold on. I guess I'll put it in the show notes. Brickmaster Masters Podcast. The reason why is because Lego. Brickmaster Podcast is also a continuation of, oh my God, this is what happens when, it's not called Brickmasters anymore? Okay, here, I'm just going to put Brickmasters. Keeps showing me Legos, but I'm not trying to see Lego. Oh my God, okay, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to look on my phone. It's basically the Mundane Festival podcast. It's from that podcast. It's from the same creator, and he does a recap of the show. I guess if I wanted to be a professional, more professional podcasters, I would use actual names. He being okay, Mundane Festival. I have to go on my Chris Lambert. Jesus Christ, my memory sucks. Yeah, Chris Lambert and Dr. Veronica Paradis. Paradis. I'm pronouncing it in French because I'm fucking it up in English. And they do an amazing podcast. And if you're into that show, or if you were like me, like kind of lukewarm about it, or just want to hear smart people talk about the show and probably bring up things that you probably missed or give you some ideas to reflect on. Yeah, I mean, check it out. So I guess I enjoyed the show, but the podcast recap really is like the cherry on the top. That's where I'm going with this. Okay, yeah. That and how I am. Okay, what timer are you? Oh, right, sorry. Okay, what next do I have? Southside canceled at HBO's after 3 seasons. Oh, okay. Okay, hold on a second. This is one of those articles that I saved but hadn't had a chance to read. And except I'm going to, yeah, let the AI do the reading for me. So check it out. Here we go.
Southside canceled at HBO Max after 3 seasons. By Salome Hailu. Southside has been canceled after 3 seasons at HBO Max. The comedy series followed Simon, Sultan Salahuddin, and Kareem Young, best friends who just graduated from community college and are ready to take over the world, but are stuck working at a rent-to-own furniture store until they do. MTV Entertainment Studios produced the series.
Oh, wow.
Executive producers included Bashir Salahuddin, Riddle, Michael Bleeden, Jax Media's Tony Hernandez and MTV's Ari Pierce, Kristen Dignan, and Tara Power. While HBO Max will not be moving forward with a 4th season of Southside, we are so proud of the rich world Bashir Salahuddin, Diallo Riddle, and Sultan Salahuddin created. An HBO Max spokesperson said, confirming that the series would not be moving forward. We thank them and Michael Bleeden, Tony Hernandez, the supremely talented cast and crew, and our partners at MTV Entertainment Studios. For 3 seasons, this beloved series balanced cutting hyperlocal social commentary about life on the south side of Chicago with silly, sometimes zany humor, the statement continues. The result was a wholly unique, ambitious, and fearless comedy that could speak to everyone living the American dream. Shot on location in Englewood, a neighborhood on the south side of Chicago, the series hailed from an interconnected cast and crew. Salahuddin co-created Southside with his brother, Bashir Salahuddin, who also played police officer Goodnight, and Diallo Riddle, who played Alderman Alan Gale.
Bashir. All right, let me pause this. Okay. You know, I'm going to, rest of the article is, I mean, this piece, this article will be in the show notes, is in the show notes. Yeah, it's a shame. It's a motherfucking shame, but what's a bigger shame is the fact that I live in Canada. And it's not legally released here. And it pisses me off that it's, I don't know, man. I don't know how these things work, but I don't understand the reasoning to why it wasn't available in Canada. Like season 1, if you go on Crave, I don't know what you guys use in Vancouver, but whatever you use to access HBO shit, legally, for some reason, the powers that be have decided to only make season 1 available to us. Now, here's the part that I want to get at. Is this fucking show is fucking hilarious. And it reminds me of, again, growing up Canadian and how it's like, why do they always get all the good shit? As a black kid, you're like, why do they, they spoil white people in our country. But for black people, it's like, yeah, no, we're not going to give you Deaf Poetry Jam. No, we're not going to give you Southside. I don't know, man. I'm just pissed off that 3 seasons and the Canadian market didn't really get a chance to try it out. But, you know, Canada's as white as they come, so maybe they figured that they wouldn't get a significant bump by. I don't know. I'm just saying it's a shame. One thing I appreciate, I really love about the show, aside from how fucking hilarious it is, part of the mission, I remember hearing an interview on The Daily Show, is part of what they're doing with this show is project a different image of Chicago. Usually when people think of Chicago, they think gun violence. This show, it's like centered in Chicago, but it's like fucking hilarious. Like, these are the people in the neighborhood, but it's like the lighter side of Chicago. It's basically, the show makes you love Chicago. The show reminds you that it's not just horror and I mean, sure, the violence is a problem, but if you only, I remember hearing some coworkers talk about Chicago as like, you know, this wasteland of violence. But, you know, there are human beings who live there. That's their home. That's they don't enjoy the violence. Like it's plague. It's like, you know, I was going to equate the violence in Chicago to our winter, but that's a very bad comparison. But the point is that thing in your city that makes you, that people complain about. That's really what I'm trying. People bring up. People that thing in your city that makes it not perfect. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. That's really what I, anyways. It was a great show. I loved how they showed their home. They brought us into their home and they made you love Chicago and its residents. That's really what I'm trying to get at, man. Yeah, great effort, man. Good job. And I hope these brothers, the cast and the creators, much success. Much success. All right. Okay. There's an article that I wanted to read. And is that the last one? And then after, and breakdown, only white people can be racist. Okay, yeah. So I'm going to label this one as Julie Black is trying to get me deported from Canada. All right, so here's the story. I'll try to read it. He goes, I'll be in the show notes. He goes, I sang the facts, says Julie Black, about one word change to the O Canada. I'm not going to read the whole fucking thing. Long story short, Julie Black, great Canadian singer. You know what? First thing I need to find out, is Julie Black from the Caribbean? Is she one of those black people who came to Canada during the 70s? Or is she like several generation Canadians? Okay, Juliet. Oh, my God. Julianne. Indira Gordon Black was born to Jamaican parents. That's what I thought. Okay, she's like me. All right, okay. All right. Yo, home girl, you're going to get us deported, home girl. Anyway. No, this is me praising Julie Black. What she did is, and you probably heard already, is at some All-Star, NFL, NHL, oh my God, NBA All-Star game. She sang the Canadian National Anthem. Now, as a Francophone, I am not familiar with the English version of the Canadian anthem, and I do that on purpose to accentuate the fact that je suis fucking français, tu sais, je suis dans la partie française du Canada. This is just my little bro. But in the English version of the Canadian anthem, of the national anthem, it says Canada, it says our home and native land. And Julie Black remixed that shit and said our home, our native land. First of all, let me give her one of these. And blah, blah, blah. Wait, how do I not have a blah, blah, blah? Okay, I don't have gunshots. I don't have this. But I do have. Nah, that's not what I was looking for. You know what I was really looking for? I really was looking for. Okay, she said, our home, our native land. Oh, this is embarrassing. Okay, I'm not going to fuck you, man. I'm not playing any sound effect. But my point is, shout out to her. Like I've heard black people, other people, like, you know, the revolutionaries, us troublemakers, you know, usually it's that thing you say at the barbershop. She said on a national stage, yo, I won't lie, man. I'm proud of her, but I reacted to that news like a slave making eye contact, defying massa. I'm like, what the fuck? A part of my stomach went, oh, shit, we are getting deported. Now, white people, like, you know, I always laugh when I talk about how I'm going to get deported. Or I'll be like, or black people will be like, oh, I was born in this country. I'm legally and whatever and stuff like that. But see, what y'all don't get is I don't trust white people to not find a reason to be like, oh, okay, you know what? We are tired of these black folks. Get the fuck out. I'm that black guy, man. I'm saying, like, it, all it takes is something like that for white people to be like, okay, that's it. Send them back to Africa, but from Haiti. It doesn't matter. One fucking boat. We ain't paying for several trips. What are we, Carnival? One boat back to Africa. Okay, no, seriously. Shout out to Julie Black. I've heard she's been about it, man. It was just a matter of time before she did some shit. No, this is not the first time she let the world know she reminded Canada about her blackness. I'm sure she's, you know, she's got a personal track record. If you know her personally, it'd be like, yeah, no, that's her. She been about that shit. It wasn't a shot to them. I'm sure there was a few people who tried to talk, a few people. I'm sure there was one person who tried to talk her out of it. It's like, come on, you're going to lose your record deal. They're going to fuck you up. And then probably, you know, and someone said, you know, you will go out with a legacy. But yeah, man, shout out to Julie Black for remixing the national anthem and telling these white people what they don't want to hear about their own country. All right. Okay. Last but not least. Okay, finally, I am going to play a another TikTok video by Dr. C. That's his name on TikTok. He also labeled as at G-A-C, oh, Gacruz, Ph.D., Ph.D. So why do you call yourself Dr. C? It doesn't matter, whatever, right? But homie says something that, again, one of those clips where someone says something that I couldn't articulate in my own words. But here we go. Breakdown of only white people can be racist. All right. So he stitches a video by, I think his name is Mike Walsh. This white boy. When I talk about Whitey, I'm talking about the Mike Walsh of the world. And Mike Walsh says something stupid about how, against the notion about how white people, only white people can be racist. Here we go.
Just remember, anytime somebody says only white people can be racist, all you have to do is respond with one question. Says who?
Hello, my name is Dr. Cruz. I'm a professor that researches and teaches about matters of race, media, and society, as well as rhetoric and persuasion, and I'm excited to go through this video with you.
Oh, Dr. C says for Dr. Cruz. Okay, gotcha. So, oh, I guess G.A. Cruz. Gotcha. All right. G.A. Cruz, Ph.D. Here we go. It's really important for me that, you know, you memorize his name and look him up. And if you ask how you heard about him, you know, tell him B Black sent you. All right.
Only white people can be racist. Says who? Who says that?
Who the said that?
So let's start with this premise. This idea that there are people who are saying that only white people can be racist. Is that a sentiment that is out there in the world? Sure. The people who believe that are folks that are not well informed about how racism operates. Mm. It is generally accepted within critical race scholarship that anyone can be racist if they align themselves with racist institutions of power. That is not a controversial statement. What I find interesting about this argument
I'm going to play that one more time.
It is generally accepted within critical race scholarship that anyone can be racist if they align themselves with racist institutions of power. That is not a controversial.
Okay. That's the important part. Message.
Statement. What I find interesting about this argument is that coming from someone who is overtly against anti-racism, addressing this subject matter on his show elevates the visibility of his argument to make it seem like this is a common and widely held belief among people who are anti-racist.
You do, but where are you getting that from?
I do, because I'm a critical race scholar and I've never made this claim.
Why should I accept your definition of racism? I understand that that's your claim, that's your belief, but why should I give a damn? Why should I believe it?
Oh, you don't have to listen to me. You can listen to people like Patricia Hill Collins, mm-hmm. Dorothy Roberts, Kimberly Crenshaw, Lisa Flores, Eduardo Bonilla Silva, Thomas Nakayama, or a whole list of people that I could go on and on about, but only if you're interested in intellectual honesty, and I'm concerned that may not be the case here.
I guess if you want to follow up with another question, you could also ask this. Did racism exist 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago?
Nope. Our modern conceptualization of race didn't really solidify until roughly the 17th and 18th centuries, mostly having to do with the laws surrounding the enslavement of Africans and the presence in the Americas, as well as pseudoscientific efforts to explain race. That being said, the earliest origins of our concept of race go back to the mid to late 15th century, having to do with the European enslavement of Africans and their export across the world.
Did it exist in ancient times? Did racism exist back when people were slaughtering and enslaving outsiders just as a matter of course?
Again, no. Humans have always found ways to divide ourselves from each other, whether it was along lines of national identity or ethnicity, tradition, cultural practices, religion, what have you. But they could not divide themselves according to an idea that did not exist at that time.
Break it down.
If racism is inherent to white people...
This is an interesting rhetorical sleight of hand because the premise of the video is that only white people could be racist, but that is not the same thing as saying that racism is inherent to white people, as though there's something about having fair skin that intrinsically ties you to racism devoid of context.
Because of their systemic power, then it must mean that racism didn't exist before white people as we know them now existed, or before they had this kind of power.
So close.
Go back through history, you find that the most powerful empires back in ancient times were in places like Egypt and Mesopotamia. Was there no racism then?
Once again, for the people in the cheap seats, no. There are other ways to create social stratification and maintain an articulated underclass of laborers, but race was not existent at that time.
Right. Was it an anti-racist utopia which just so happened to subsist on slavery and conquest?
And this is another interesting rhetorical sleight of hand, because the idea here is that if there was no racism, then they must have been anti-racist. However, in order to be anti-racist, racism has to exist, and it did not at that point. Furthermore, this idea that anti-racism coexisted in this utopic society alongside exploitation and enslavement is the real point of this message. This idea that anti-racism or diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts are going to inevitably lead to the subjugation and exploitation of another group of people, in this case heavily implied to be white folks, is a decades-old white nationalist talking point that holds no credibility at all.
Break it down, brother. Break it down. All right. Okay. The thing that pisses me off about Matt Walsh is I've heard white people do this. Here's the thing, man. If you don't want to know, you won't. If you don't want to know, you won't know. If you want to stay ignorant, Matt Walsh is holding on to ignorance. But it's not just the fact that he's holding on to it. But in this white supremacy society, he's allowed to. Meaning there are people, a significant portion of people who will listen to him, and he makes sense. He's the guy trying to distract you from the fact that 2 + 2 = 4. He goes, well, okay, well, if you got 2 oranges and 2 bananas, you know what I mean? you could just put, perfect. Okay, yeah. If you got 2 oranges and 2 bananas, doesn't mean I have 4 oranges. Yeah, but you got 4 fruit. You know what I mean? I'm just saying how you can twist shit so you don't see the logic. You don't see the reasoning. What I'm saying is Matt Walsh is purposely choosing to be ignorant. And in the society that we live in this racist society, he's like backed by it. It's like he gets to present himself as the other side of the argument. He gets to present himself as the the opposition. He's like, tastes great, let's feel it. You know, he to the ignorant, he sounds intelligent. And it bothers me, man. He can do a whole show about it, and there are people who ain't shit you can do about those people, man. Ain't those people. The Matt Walsh of the world and his followers are exactly who this podcast is not for. Because I'm done trying to teach white people about racism. It's either you figure it the fuck out or you stay on the other side of the battlefield. All right. Okay. All right. So this concludes news and random thoughts. So let's go into personal thoughts. Here we go. Okay. All right. Okay. What did I put down for? Okay, real quick. Okay, so I'm going to talk about, like I said, this, this month I've been getting an homage to rappers, you know what? Pac said it best, and that's likely going to be the title of the next episode. But Pac said, I remember, Marvin Gaye used to saying to me, he made me feel like black was the thing to be. Right. So this month I've been showcasing, I've been giving tribute, homages to rappers who, like Pac said, made me feel like black was the thing to be. And we first started out with, the first one was Chuck D, Public Enemy and Chuck D, KRS-One, Sister Soulja, Ice Cube, and now for today is Dead Prez. Now, before I get into Dead Prez, I was just thinking about, this is just personal thoughts, whatever, just a thought that crossed my mind. I guess this could have been a random thought, but, you know what, no, fuck it. We're going to focus on random thoughts. Right, there we go. I mean, we're going to focus on Dead Prez. Now, what I read earlier today was a verse by, earlier today, at the beginning of this episode, was a verse by Dead Prez from their track Africa Hot. And, look, there's many track titles, many verses I could have picked for the intro, but I went with the one that hit me and would prevent me from and you know, didn't overthink it, because or else I would have been undecided. Undecided in picking out a topic. But yeah, there's a lot of track I could have picked, but I remember the first time hearing that verse by Dead Prez, and specifically the last two verse. He goes, "Yo, I could have been Kosa, Yoruba, Okikuyu." Hold on a second. I think I'm pronouncing Kosa incorrectly. Or not accurately. I've heard, what's his name? Oh, shit. Kosa is, what the hell, I'm not, okay. Formerly spelled, Kosa is a group mostly related. Peoples living primarily in Eastern Cape Cod. Okay, but that's not what I want to say. Pronunciation. Here we go.
Kosa. Kosa.
Oh, shit. Oh, okay. All right, let me go slow.
Kosa.
Okay. I heard Trevor Noah pronounce it way fancier than the way I did it. Like, I feel like this is the way I pronounce it is like white folks. Anyway, okay. It's English-sized. All right, okay. Yeah, Kosa, Yoruba, Kikuyu. So I just claim them all from Ashanti to Zulu. The reason I picked this one is because before I heard that verse, I remember speaking to a brother, black dude from Kenya, and he's, and this is not the first time I've had these conversations. Like a Nigerian brother was trying to explain to me, but he was basically trying to say how clueless those of us from, you know, descendants of the enslaved, descendants of those who traveled the Middle Passage, black Americans, black Canadians, black from the Caribbean, in our attempt to get back to, like, it's whatever, in our attempt to get back to the motherland. And it's like, basically, how the fact that I was clueless of the fact that Africa ain't, at the beginning, how Africa ain't one country, ain't a country. It's a fucking continent made up of several countries, made up of several different ethnicity, tribes. There's a lot of breakdown. And it's a point I've made before is there's a lot of motherfuckers in Africa. And as a result, a shitload of diversity. And he was, because he was talking about how his people are, he's repping Kikuyus. Kikuyus, and I remember hearing that, and then next day I hear this track by Dead Prez, where which one of the two rappers said that verse? I think it was Stickman. I believe it was Stickman. God damn it! Hold on a second. Sorry, I'm proving to there we go. Stickman, I was right. Damn, I'm good. Yeah, Stickman who did that verse, and where was I saying? Yeah, Cuckoo. And I was just amazed that he made himself aware of that shit, of the different tribes, the different breakdowns of. Here, you know what? Here, let me see what the explanation is. Due to the transatlantic slave trade, Stickman's ancestors, like many other black people of African descent that were brought to the Americas, had their history and their culture stolen from them, so their descendants no longer know where exactly their ancestor originally called home in West Africa. Stickman flips this negative into a positive by showing love to all the Africans living on the continent and throughout the diaspora. No matter what tribe, what country, we as Africans are one. Yeah, you know what? I guess that's, I just love that sentiment. It's, yeah, I just love that sentiment. Now, I don't know where Dead Prez stands. Like, I haven't heard any tracks about it. I haven't heard any interviews where they stand on sexuality. Because I know they're really big on men be men, women be women, and shit like that. But I'm not, I don't know where they stand about that, or where they stand on that. Maybe to them, diversity is just accept the fact that we're tribes. But when it comes to sexuality and religion, y'all better be Christians or Muslim, whatever. I don't know where they stand on that shit. But I do love the notion of acknowledging taking the time to acknowledging the fact that of what makes us different, of our not just ethnicity, but of our I'm blanking on the word there, on our diversity, essentially, on the shit that makes us diverse. See, at first I thought Nigerian brother, again, Kenya or whatever, when they were like arguing with me about how I was oblivious of the separation of how really shit goes down in Africa. On one end, I'm like, wait, how the fuck, you know, did you forget we were fucking enslaved? The white man fucked us up. But I guess what he was getting at is trying to get me to realize, they've both been trying to get me, it's not as simple as Bob Marley singing a song about Africa Unite. Yeah, man, there's beef back there that goes on from way back. Like, it's not as, it's complicated. I think what they were annoyed is at the time, my unwillingness to accept the complexity of African society. Sure, we all have dark skin. Sure, we probably, you know how to dance on beat. Even that's a stereotype, you know, even that's whatever, right? But there is a history, there is a large culture, heritage that needs to be acknowledged. So with that said, I think, first point I need to mention, right? It's not only the rappers who I've featured homage during the month of February. It's not just the music that I appreciate them for. And I realized this with Dead Prez. I realized it's the ideas. It's the message in their song. Honestly, I couldn't give a fuck about the music. I mean, I'm glad it helps them sales unit and all that shit. But for me, it was, okay, I'm lying. I can't, it's bigger than hip hop, bip hop, you know, but it's the messages, the ideas, the something about my brain. It's kind of like, for me, it's if you're a comedian, it's not just making me laugh. Say shit that's going to make me think. So for rappers, it's not just the rhymes that I'm, this is why I don't take part in conversation debates about who's the best or whatever. Nah, for me, it's not just the rhymes, not just the beats, not just the producer. It's not about the big booty girl in your video. It's about shit that you made me reflect on, ideas offending me. Yo, and Dead Prez, I gotta tell you, they've been, I love Dead Prez just for that. There's been twice these brothers have challenged me. Twice they said something, and the first time I heard it, I was angry at them. It was like, it's like that joke that it's, you think it's offensive. It's like that joke, you think it's offensive, but you realize when you take the time to realize that, nah, it was more, it just revealed something more about you. And it's been two occasions where these brothers have done that, Dead Prez. It's Pimp the System. And I fucking love the way they did that. Pimp the System and Polytrix. Is it Polytrix? Okay, make sure I get the title of the Dead Prez Polytrix. I'll explain why those two tracks challenged me at the time. The Best of Poe Politicking? Oh, is that what it's called? No. That's what it's called. Oh.
You are now politicking with Poe.
What's up, y'all? It's Jamie Jones, politicking with Poe on the Poe Politicking Show. It's Jamie Jones, y'all.
You are now politicking with Poe.
I don't know that. Okay, holy shit. Yeah. Okay. Hold on a sec. Okay, let me see if I see politics. No, Politrix. That's the song. Okay, here we go. I'll play the song. Just the beginning.
You already know what time it is. Deadpress.com.
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna get taken down by YouTube here. But here's the point. Okay, so Pimp the System. I remember when that song came out. It might have been around when I graduated. But I remember, I didn't realize this, but I was on a little bit on unintentionally, I have adopted the what's that they call politics? Respectability politics. I wanted to be a good Negro. I wanted to be a productive. No, I was trying to be a productive member of society. It's like, yo, stop blaming the white man for your problem. No, don't get me wrong. I wasn't cooning, but I was. Let me put it this way. I was at a point where a track like Pimp the System bothered me. The first time I heard Pimp the System, you know what? Okay, I should look up what it's all. You know what? I'm going to pretend like I'm speaking to the fans. Fuck you. I'm always acting like I'm talking to some dumb white person who has no interest in black culture but pretends to just to get me talking. So I'm pretending I'm speaking to the fans so I don't have to like context. So if you've heard Pimp the System, the first time I heard it, I thought it was a trap. I remember telling myself, Dead Prez is trying to encourage our kids to be criminals. That was my first reaction to that track. Because I wasn't paying attention. I remember, he's going in the wrong neighborhood, you know? And the whole track is pretty much is, bro, I'm broke. Fucking ain't shit. No one's helping me out. So I'm making the best out of a bad situation. That's how I want to interpret that track. But the way I heard it is, I thought, again, I think I had just graduated. I'm probably working my first job. I'm probably wearing a suit to work. Yeah, my first job, I used to wear a suit to work. Actually, my second job, doesn't matter. Used to wear a suit to work. And I remember feeling like, yeah, well, once I get married, I made it. Well, I remember feeling like, I guess I was paying taxes. I remember being like, I wasn't pull yourself by your bootstrap guy, but I was probably close to it. But I was to the point where it was enough for me to misinterpret what Dead Prez was trying to say about in the track Pimp Your System. Politics now. Politics came out while Obama was running for president. And trust me, I remember at the beginning I was like, yeah, Obama ain't gonna win. Fuck that. What was the name? Barack Hussein Obama. I don't think you kids understand. Back in those days, everyone was worried about like white people were less worried about black people. They were worried about Muslims, brown people. Brown people with the name like Hussein. Like they were fucking media had us all on edge. 9/11 was gonna happen again. We had to watch our back, and this nigga comes out with a name Hussein. Anyways. So, I remember being convinced, yeah, he's not going to win. No fucking way he can win. Now, when he's starting to gain traction, he's starting to win. Like, the closer we're getting, I'm like, holy shit, he might have a chance. I don't think you understand how it felt like the possibility I would see the first black president. You were rooting. It was more than watching your favorite hockey team make it to the playoffs. It was more than watching your favorite sports team make it to the America's Got Talent, whatever the fuck. I was about to make history. And then in the middle of that shit, Dead Prez comes out with Politics. And the whole track was pretty much how, hey, sorry to break it to you, black folks. Obama ain't gonna change shit. Nigga, we weren't trying to hear that shit. We were all like, but here's the thing is, and this is no disrespect to Obama, I still respect the fact that everything he's done and everything, but I understand their point. It's like, yes, they put a black face. All they're doing is putting a lipstick on a pic. Look, I'm still glad he won, but I understand their point is some people were like, I think there was black folks who were convinced that once Obama wins, we're getting reparation. Once Obama wins, shit is going to be different. You know, these white folks are going to be like, are going to be terrified, all right? The revolution has begun. He's like the bring us to the mountaintop. Police violence. Well, the Trayvon Martin story wasn't going to happen. Police brutality is going to come to the end. Accountability. Fuck, black lives will matter. I think a lot of people bought into that shit. And I'm not mad at him. I'm like, you know, it's like, okay, look, we're happy that you're having a black president, but let's not kid our fucking self. This is America. We'll get a black president, but that's it. That's fucking it. It's like, I don't know. I guess I'm trying to say that I was mad the first time I heard that track. I was getting ready to cancel him. And then I'm like, oh, I understand what they were trying to say. So, which brings me to my last point about Dead Prez and why I respect them as artists and messengers. I think Dead Prez represents, on interpretation right now, Dead Prez represents the percentage of black folks who want to keep that dream Malcolm X had. Malcolm X was big on black independence. Fuck asking white folks for shit. Let's build our own schools. Let's build our own supermarket. Let's have our own version, not version of Africa. Let's create our own Wakanda. Using our black talent, let's come together and make this shit happen. And I'm not mad at that. I get it. I honestly am not. I understand that sentiment. But I have chosen to be part of, sorry, I nearly dropped my water. I am with, so you have them, and then on the other side, you have black folks who are like, nah, fuck this. Our ancestors built this country. These white folks won't acknowledge it. Our ancestors built this country. I'm going to make this American identity work for me. I'm speaking as a black Canadian here. I'm not, but I understand that I'm going to vote. I am going to participate in this system, and I am going to make this country ours because, you know, we got, fuck that, man. We put five on this motherfucker, you know what I mean? It's like, it belongs to us. While Dead Prez is like, nah, fuck that. I'm not them, but to me, that's what they symbolize, that group of black folk. And I think the other thing I like about Dead Prez is because they remind me that, see, it's very easy as a black Canadian to get caught up in the notion when it comes to blackness that black Americans, that's it. Like, they have all the answers. They have the solutions. Like, we're just trying to imitate them. It's very easy what's that word? Hold on a second. Let me try to relax. It's very easy to simplify, to reduce blackness to the black American experience and forget that there are black people who speak French, black people who speak Portuguese, black people who speak German, black people speak Russian, black people all over the fucking continent of Africa. Black people who identify as Ashanti, Zulu, Rastafarians, Christians, Muslims, fucking Buddhists, I don't know, Scientologists. It's a motherfucking shame, but whatever. Scientologists, liberals, Democrat, conservative. Black people who like to watch birds. Shout out to Black Bird. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, it's diverse. There's a big, you know, fuck. There are black people, you know, part of the LGBTQ community, and all that shit. Like, I remember this first time. I can't remember the name of this brother. Some clip I saw on my Instagram, and this brother from who lived in France, and he was just speaking about blackness. And he wasn't talking that, yo, let's try to integrate. No, he says, nah, fuck that, man. We building our own societies. He was speaking about blackness in a way I was not, like, it was different way of thinking when it came to blackness. He was still black, but it was just a different way of thinking. It's like, let me put it this way. Since the slave ship, since fucking your encounter with Europe, we've been fighting for liberations. Liberation is being able to control our own destiny. That's the end game. We're far away from that because of our black skin. Sure, maybe Jay-Z is, I don't know, maybe he's closer to that than he is, than the rest of us, being a black billionaire. Maybe the black billionaires are the ones who are closer to the promised land than the rest of us. Actually, I forgot to say black billionaires. They're another ethnicity within black folks. Yeah, I guess the point I'm trying to make is there are many of us on our journey to black liberation, independence, being in control of our own destiny. We've just chosen to, we've picked our own paths. There are a lot of paths to get there. There's the belief that, no, we should go about it this way. You know, you Christians, I'm not talking to you motherfuckers. Jesus is not the way. Anyway, yeah. But, well, okay, sorry. I wasn't trying to shit on, okay, defeating my purpose. I'm contradicting myself. But I'm just acknowledging the fact that many roads lead to Rome. I should have said, many roads lead to Kenya. Fuck that. And where was Hannibal from? Hannibal, yeah. Many roads lead to wherever Hannibal's from. And I guess that's what I'm just trying to get at. We're all going about it our own ways. And to me, Dead Prez symbolizes a portion of black folks who are going about it in a ways that, I don't want to say it's not popular, it's different. I'm just going to say it's different. It's really, and in the end, first one to make it to the finish line wins. They get to say that, see, we were right. We were right. We were right. Anyway, I'm just saying, look, man, shout out to Dead Prez. Shout out to the music. But more importantly, shout out for the message, for what they represent. And, yeah, no. This is my award for Dead Prez used to rap to me. They made me feel like black was the thing to be. Yeah. Anyways, I'm going to end right there and with my perfectly timed episode. Synchronized time episode. But next episode, the tribute will be on Tupac. And you know what? Tupac is with several honorable mentions. And that's just by way of saying all the rappers I didn't have a chance to fit in the month of February. But yeah. This concludes today's episode. Holla at me on Twitter at BBlizzak. Well, okay, BBlizzak until probably Saturday because right now my account's locked. Anyways, you can listen to the past episode to why it's locked. I want to blame the white man. Fuck it, I'm blaming the white man. And yeah, for the fucking AI that couldn't interpret my message. Yeah, so holla at me on Twitter, BBlizzak, or at Shut Up Podcast. At BBlizzak or at Shut Up Podcast. Website is shutuppodcast.com. That's where you'll find the show notes for this episode. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. To subscribe to this podcast, just use the RSS feed, or find us on Google and Apple Podcasts. Ayo, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast.